ministers, servants, power, armies, influence, fabulous, fabulous wealth and prestige. He didn't care anything for any of this. Some Siddhir Haritoshana. He only cared, my Lord, how can I please you? And then we have the example of Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis. They were also wealthy like kings. They had beautiful estates, fabulous palaces, beautiful grounds. They had so much power and control. They were the chief ministers of the king. And they were so endeared to him that anything they want was fulfilled. And in leaving the kingdom, they would have to give up all their protection, all their opulences, all their prestige in society, everything. But when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told them that you can best serve me by renouncing all of this and going to Vrindavan, they didn't care anything for the things of this world. At great risk, Sanatana Goswami, he had to leave his beautiful palace and all of his prestige to live in prison. And he knew that that would be the result. In chains. And then escaping from the prison, he had to be hiding through the back roads so he would not be seen. And ultimately when he reached Vrindavan and met with his brother Rupa Goswami sometime later, Tyaktvatura namashesha mandalapati srenim sadhatu chavat. They gave up their beautiful, beautiful fancy clothes and wonderful jewelry to just wear one loincloth, coping. And that coping that they used was not new from Loi Bazaar. It was what the Brijabasis would throw out and discard as useless cloth. They would take that as their clothing. And they gave up their fine meals with best possible cooks to just beg, to be beggars for some little roti. And they gave up their fine, wonderful bedsteads and beautiful mansions to sleep directly on the hard, cold ground in the winter and the summer under various trees of Brajbhumi. But it is explained that they were always absorbed in the most sweet transcendental ecstasy of the gopis' mood of love for Sri Krishna, which is a wealth, which is a fortune that nothing of this world can ever possibly compare to. Srila Rupa Goswami explained that when we give something up for Krishna, we should never think that we will be the loser, but rather we will gain hundreds and millions and trillions of times over. Yehi samsparashucha bhoga dhuka jonaya evate atyanta vanta konteya nathe shuramate buddha. Because the sources of misery, which are the objects of the senses, the more we try to enjoy them, the more we are creating an atmosphere of future misery for our own lives. And that is a material law. No one can or will ever be able to change that law. It is like the law of gravity. What goes up must come down. No one can change the law of gravity. You have to accept it as a principle of existence. So similarly, the law of nature is, to the degree we enjoy the objects of the senses, to that degree that very object will be the cause of our misery. And you cannot change that law. But at the same time, anandamayobhyashat, we are pleasure-seeking beings by nature because it is the characteristic of the soul to always be hankering for pleasure. But that is spiritual pleasure. Ahoitakiyapratihata. The spirit soul is longing for the pleasure of making offerings to Krishna. And whatever is of this world, if it can be utilized in Krishna's service, dharmasya hyabhargasya naratutayopakalpate, and we don't justify devotional service to acquire wealth or prestige for ourselves, then we find the true, secret, intimate, and most confidential principle of real happiness. This is something materialistic people can never understand. Only the devotee of the Lord, who has obtained the causeless mercy of the Lord through his devotees, can understand this principle. Why is this? Because Krishna is the reservoir of all opulences. It is explained by the nine yogendras in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam how the Supreme Lord personally appeared within this world to demonstrate the highest and purest form of renunciation. It was in that holy land of Badrik Ashram. The Lord appeared as Nara Narayan Rishi. And there the Lord was performing such type of tapasya that no one has ever seen. Shri Radha Rasa Bihari Ji. Aishwaryasya samagrasya virayasya yashashajya jnana vairagyam saiva sanam bhaga ithingana. That the Lord Krishna, he is the possessor of all opulences, wealth, beauty, knowledge, strength, fame, and renunciation. So in this particular incarnation as the son of Dharma, he was performing such tapasya in that austere setting of the Himalayas. No one has ever seen. But as we know, the nature of consciousness conditioned by the modes of material nature is we superimpose our own ideas on everyone. We see it in our own lives. An envious person thinks that everyone is envious. A person who is a cheater will think that everyone around is trying to cheat him. A person who is possessed with lust, with passion, naturally thinks everyone must be passionate like this. And if we have something that we are too much attached to, we are always thinking that everyone wants it. And that creates fear and suspicion. There can be no love. Love is selfless. So what we have, what we consider to be wonderful, we think everyone must be thinking the same thing. And this is not only the human beings in this world, but even the great devatas in the heavens. Oftentimes they are subjected to the same type of pride and attachment. So it is described that Indra, who is the king of Swargaloka, the heavenly realm, he has his Nandanandana gardens, which are so beautiful, with the parijata trees that are growing To become Indra takes so many lifetimes of incredible pious activities. And after attaining it, you don't want to lose it. This is the nature of this world. We work so hard for something, and when we finally get it, after so much labor, we don't want to lose it. Therefore, we become attached. We become insecure. We become fearful. We become suspicious. We even become envious. So Indra, after attaining this post, he was thinking that anyone who's doing severe austerities, they must be doing it because they want to take my position, which is so wonderful, so attractive, and so superlative in every way. This type of pride. So Indra was very expert at making wonderful arrangements to bewilder people's minds. He called upon Madana, Cupid himself, and told him, somehow or other, this Narayan Rishi, he wants to attain my abode. You must attract his mind to material enjoyment by whatever means possible. We know the story of Vishvamitra Muni. He was such a great yogi, performing such tapasya. But when Indra sent Menaka, he was easily bewildered because he had not taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. So when the Lord came, when Cupid came to Nara Narayan Rishi, he shot his arrows in the form of wonderful, wonderful spring breezes, beautiful, beautiful atmosphere, and lovely, lovely dancing girls, heavenly apsaras, casting glances and singing and making every type of gesture and action to just charm his heart. Cupid used all of his energy and power. What Madana does to bewilder our minds, he doesn't even have to consider what he does. Just the slightest little drop, and we become confused, bewildered, attached. But all of his power, and Nara Narayan Rishi just continued his tapasya. And upon seeing this whole phantasmagoria of incredible material opulences, temptation, he simply smiled. In fact, he laughed. He laughed at it all. You think I am attracted to any of this material enjoyment? But he was so kind, so compassionate. He said, you are the messengers of the demigods. You have come to my ashram. I am not concerned with what you have to give me, but I want to offer you some auspicious gifts. I welcome you. And when they saw this and they heard this, that demigods and their servants, at first they were trembling in fear. They were thinking, such a powerful personality. We have failed. He will certainly become angry and curse us because we came only to destroy him. But yet, he is offering us gifts and welcoming words. Then they realize that he was none other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. And they began to offer prayers. They prayed, my dear Lord, you are the source of everything that exists, and therefore you are always completely transcendental to your own creations. You are so kind, you are so merciful. that even though we have come with such ill motives and we have committed such a grave offense against you, you are welcoming us. And you are speaking kind words. But this is no surprise, because the demigods and other higher material powers, they are always trying to bewilder the conditioned souls in this world. And they are always presenting obstacles on the path of those devotees who are trying to transcend this material world and attain your lotus feet. But because they have taken shelter of you, they could easily, your devotees can easily step over the heads of all the devatas and all the temptations of material existence. What to speak of you? For a devotee, even the greatest obstacles become a wonderful opportunity. An opportunity to go deeper in our own hearts in taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. Therefore, devotees are not afraid of obstacles on their path in devotional service. They are only afraid of forgetting Krishna. We find in the prayers of the great Vaishnavas, their only fear in all of this creation is that, Krishna, please do not allow me to forget you. Because in remembering Krishna, we are guaranteed shelter from any type of obstacle. Because all these obstacles are presented by Maya, material energy. And Krishna explains, Maya Dyaksha, that I am the controller of material energy. It is working under my direction. If we take refuge in Krishna, we are transcendental. Daivi heshu gunamai mama maya duratyaya mam evabhya pepadyante mayam eta darantite. This material nature is very, very difficult to overcome. But one who takes shelter of me can easily cross beyond these three modes of material nature and all the auspicious and inauspicious trappings that are put into our life. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has prayed that I have seen and consider all the world, and my conclusion is that, Krishna, you are the only refuge. Nothing and no one can save me but you. Because when we put our natural inclination to attraction in the all-attractive Krishna, then the things of this world become undesirable for our own enjoyment. We see the things of this world only desirable for the enjoyment of Krishna, to be used in Krishna's service. So the demigods prayed in this way. And they explained that we have seen many great yogis who are so much renounced. They have renounced all the allurements of the objects of the senses. They have crossed over the whole ocean of material enjoyment. But yet, they become proud. And when someone offends them, they become very angry. And due to their anger and pride, they lose all the good results of all their austerities. But Naranarayan Rishi exhibited the supreme most opulence of renunciation. Because not only was he not the slightest bit attracted by the most wonderful pleasures of this universe? But he had no pride. He presented himself as a humble servant before the people that were trying to ruin him and offend him. No anger. So the demigods bowed their heads and they surrendered to him. And then he wanted to reveal the secret of his supreme renunciation. From his own body emanated beautiful, beautiful personalities. Such celestially beautiful ladies that all of the apsaras created and sent by Cupid, they were pale and ugly in comparison. And all these heavenly servants, when they saw him, they felt utterly insignificant and ashamed. Krishna is the source of all opulence. Why would Krishna be attracted to the things of this world? He is never attracted to anything of this world. But he is attracted by the one spiritual quality of bhakti. Bhaktya mam abhijanati yavanyascha smitatvataha. Krishna is conquered by devotion, by pure love. And whatever is offered with pure love and devotion, Krishna is hungry for that. Narayana Rishi is just an expansion of an expansion of an expansion of other expansions of the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. And yet, at Badrikashram, he was eating nothing, drinking nothing, was not even inclined to breathe air. Had no home, was living so simple, so austere. He doesn't need the food, the drink, or the conveniences of this world. He's supremely renounced. But yet, that supreme source, Sri Sri Radharasa Bihari, when a temple is offered with devotion, he agrees to live in that temple and to find pleasure in that temple. And 6-7 offerings a day of food with so many wonderful, luxurious preparations. He doesn't need that food. He has proved that as Naranarayan Rishi. But when it is offered with bhakti, with devotion, not only does he enjoy it, but as you're cooking, he's hungry, waiting. Srila Prabhupada told us that you must be very punctual when you are worshipping the deity, because you do not want to keep Krishna waiting, because he is hungry and he's thirsty for our devotion, which is manifested in the spirit in which we make our offerings. As Naranarayan Rishis, he was not attracted by any of the beautiful celestial jewelry or robes of these heavenly damsels. He was dressed in as an ascetic. But yet, he is willing to accept beautiful silken robes, crowns, jewelry. He doesn't like the crowns or the jewelry or the silk. But it is our devotion to offer him the best that we can. He accepts our love. But Sanatana Goswami, when he was living under different trees and Madan Mohan appeared before him, he had nothing to offer. He would go out and beg for some flour and make some little roti dry with no salt even. And he kept them not in a temple but under a tree. But Madan Mohan was perfectly satisfied. Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhakti prayachchati. If all we have is a little water or a tulsi leaf, if it is offered in devotion with bhakti, Krishna is satisfied. He doesn't care for anything that is not offered with devotion. Because devotion has such a power that it spiritualizes the object in which we are offering and gives pleasure to Krishna. When our Guru Maharaj Srila Prabhupada was living in his simple quarters at Radha Damodar Mandir in Vrindavan, whatever little Jamuna water he would offer to Krishna, Krishna was satisfied. And when he was in New York cities, practically living under trees, not knowing where he would be next, no money, no friends, in ghettos, offering the simplest things that he could possibly obtain, Krishna accepted it with great pleasure. And when he built beautiful places like Sri Sri Radharas Bihari Mandir, wonderful marble temples, Krishna accepted. Krishna sees the devotion. According to our capacity, no one is omitted from the opportunity to perfect their lives by pleasing Krishna. Yat karoshi rashnashi yat juhoshi tadasya yat tapasyasi tvante yatat kurushamatara. Whatever we do should be offered with love. And Krishna, he reciprocates with our devotion. And ye yathamam prapadyante tamstatayva bhajamya. He reciprocates by revealing himself to us. And Krishna is all attractive. What Cupid, Madana, and the demigods, and the servants of the demigods, all seeing emanating from Krishna's body in the form of Naranarayan Rishi. Such beautiful heavenly personalities that put to shame everything of this universe. But Krishna is millions, billions, trillions, infinitely more beautiful than what he creates. When we become attracted to Krishna, when we become attached to Krishna, nothing of this world has any meaning for our own enjoyment. And then Naranarayan Rishi said, you see all these beautiful creations? Now you choose one and take it back to your heavenly abodes. So they chose Uravasi, after chanting the sacred syllable Om. And then they took leave of the Lord and they brought Uravasi back to Indra and they explained Indra exactly what happened and he became very much ashamed that the Lord doesn't care anything for anything I have. He is self-satisfied. And Indra, bowing down at the feet of the Lord, but when he accepted Urvasi, she became his supreme most attachment in the heavenly planets. And she was just an insignificant manifestation of the Lord's material energy. So who is Krishna? He is all attractive. He is the reservoir of all pleasure. So therefore, we should make our one and only goal of life to become attracted to Krishna, to become attached to Krishna. Everything else is temporary. Everything else is destined to die, except our attachment to Krishna. So we should, in whatever relationships we have, in whatever activities we do, we should be conscientiously endeavoring to cultivate that attachment to Krishna. And we should somehow or other keep our minds so fixed in that purpose that we are not deluded, bewildered, or obstructed by the unlimited temptations of this material world. Atato brahma jigyasa nayam deho deha bhajam no loke kastan kaman arhati vibhujam jay tapo divyam putra kayena sarpam sudyedyasyam brahma sokyam tvanantam. That this human life is meant only for that purpose, to become attached to Krishna. It is not meant for sense gratification, either in the mode of goodness, passion, or ignorance, because those things are available to the dogs and hogs. Human life is meant to utilize our moments, our precious moments, to cultivate awareness of the supreme reservoir of all beauty, sweetness, and opulences, Lord Krishna. As Jamunacharya has explained, after tasting the sweetness of service to Krishna, when I think even of the greatest pleasures of this world, I spit at the thought. It disgusts me. What is disgusting? To take what is meant for Krishna's pleasure for myself. It is a disgusting proposal. And as we develop our attraction, our devotion, and our love for Krishna, naturally we become genuinely detached from everything else. But, of course, devotees are very loving and compassionate. A devotee doesn't become callous. He becomes callous to his own enjoyment. But he becomes very kind, affectionate, and compassionate to all living beings, knowing that they are all part of Krishna. We want to become attached to the soul in others' hearts. And we want to become the servant of the soul that is present within the heart of all living beings. And what is the greatest love and service? To help that soul to find relief, shelter, and absolute joy in diving in the ocean, the nectar of devotion. By hearing the glories of the Lord, by chanting his holy names. Anandam Burivaradanam Pratipadam Punam Ritashvatanam Sarvatmasna param param vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtan. That infinite form of pleasure that everyone is seeking, the fulfillment of all our desires, Krishna Prema, is available for anyone who sincerely and attentively chants the holy name of the Lord. Because Krishna has so kindly, so mercifully appeared within his name in this age of Kali Yuga. And simply by chanting the holy name and developing gradually a taste for that chanting, that taste for chanting of Hari Nam will cleanse our heart of all desires for anything else except service. Service to Krishna and service to Krishna's devotees. Indra was awarded by Nara Narayan Rishi, Urvasi. She was the most beautiful thing in this material world. But ultimately, even she caused him tremendous frustration, anxiety, and distress from time to time. There are many stories in the Bhagavatam and other Puranas that explain this. But Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna himself, has come to give us a fortune infinitely more wonderful than that. Immortal pleasure in the sound of his name. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
So let us chant Hare Krishna and be happy.